Excuse me. All right, open up your Bibles, if you would, to 1 Kings chapter 10. 1 Kings chapter 10, and we come to this chapter. We find Solomon now at the height of both his piety as well as his prosperity. He's just on top of the world right here. Things have come along, and he's built the temple. He's built his house. He built a house for his wife, and all this stuff that he got done. And last week it said everything that he desired to build, it was completed. Everything. And so Solomon's at this place in this part of Israel's history where he's just the king. You know, he's the king. He's got all of these things. He's got the wisdom that God gave to him. And so he's acquired all these things. And people are starting to hear about it. People around the world at that time, where they're starting to hear about the glory that is taking place through Solomon and his God. And that's who gets the glory there, is his God. And so we're going to look at this tonight and kind of go over some of these things about this Queen of Sheba that came to visit Solomon, because she had heard of all these things, and she'd heard so much that she just couldn't believe it. And you know how that is sometimes. Somebody starts to come and they start to tell you some of the things that God's done in their life, and you just go, yeah, right. You know, it's kind of hard to believe sometimes, because, you know, you just think in our own human understanding, how could that even happen? Well, it happens because God is God, and he wants to be lifted up and glorified through each and every one of us. And so that's what happens with Solomon here. So let's pick it up in verse 1. Chapter 10, it says, "Now when the queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, she came to test him with hard questions." See, the key there, it says she heard of the fame of Solomon, but concerning the name of the Lord. It wasn't just Solomon. See, God was getting glorified through that. He was getting the glory through the name of the Lord. And see, when we do something for the Lord, that's what we need to be seeking after. We shouldn't be doing things for our own edification. We get encouraged when we serve the Lord and bless others, but that should just be an outflow. We should be doing things for the name of the Lord, to glorify him in each and everything it does. The Bible, the New Testament says, do all that you do as unto the Lord. You know, and then when you do that, it says your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Because we can't outgive him. He'll return. He'll return back more, but that shouldn't be the reason to do it. So we see the Queen of Sheba coming to test him with hard questions. So scholars are divided at the possible locations of where Sheba actually was. Half of them believe that it was in Yemen, and others believe it was in You know, some people get brain freeze. I just get mouth freeze, you know. Ethiopia. Ha! Yes. So some thought it was in Yemen, some in Ethiopia. And so even if we take the more conservative of those two, which would be Yemen, even if it was from there, that would have still been a 1,500-mile trip from Yemen to Jerusalem. And it would have required at that time probably at least a 75-day ride on the back of a camel. You know, just riding along on this across the desert. You know, just to be able to think about that. And so she really wanted to get some answers. And you know, sometimes we need to do that. I mentioned the junior high had all these questions on Sunday. And see, that's what we should be questioning, especially the Word of God. Question what you hear from the front. It needs to be right. It needs to be accurate. It needs to be the truth. You know, and so to seek after and be willing to go to all ends to find an answer. And that doesn't just mean coming and asking the pastor, because I don't have them all. I know where they are. But maybe sometimes just to take and study. The Bible says study to show yourself approved as a workman, ready, able to rightly divide the word of truth. To study for yourself, to dig into the scriptures, to get out some of those gems and say, oh man, I wanna see what this is really saying. I want to know what this is saying, and really get down and do some study, do some inductive Bible study. You know, what's inductive Bible study? Well, inductive Bible study means you read the verses and you observe what it says. Then you take and you do some interpretation of it with whatever study aids that you can get a hold of and whatever you think it's really saying. As you would ask some questions like, who's it talking to? Why are they saying it? When was they saying it? And getting things in context. And then the last part is application. Then how do you apply that? And so you observe it, you interpret it, and then you apply what you've been studying out. And so for the Queen of Sheba, she was doing some inductive Bible study in a sense. She rode this distance, however far it was, to go see Solomon and ask him some hard questions to be able to get there. And so she came there and says, you know, to test him with these hard questions. And that doesn't mean that she was a skeptic by no means, but more or less I think she was probably a seeker. She was seeking some answers. And like I say, that's what we need to do as believers. We need to be seeking answers. And because we all have a lot of questions. You know, when you see what's going on in the world today, that stirs up more questions. You know, the biggest question of all is why? Why, Lord? Why are you allowing this all to happen? You know, like I always say, one of the things that I think is going to make heaven heaven is we're going to have the answer to why. You know, we're going to get there and the Lord's going to show us and we're going, man, no wonder. Man, that makes a lot of sense now, Lord. He's like, yeah, duh, it made sense then. We just didn't dig it out. We didn't seek those answers sometimes. But she went to great lengths to find the truth. She just really seriously did it. And she will not be disappointed. She won't be disappointed by her seeking. And we're never disappointed. Because the Bible says if we seek him with all of our heart, we're going to find him. You know, we'll find him if we seek after him. Seek, ask, and knock, you know, and we'll find him. You know, it says in Acts that the Bereans were more noble than the Thessalonians because they searched out the scriptures to see what Paul was saying was true. And that's what we need to be. We need to be like those Bereans that will search the scriptures and look out and see what the Lord is speaking to our heart through the Word of God at that point. So, the Queen of Sheba, I believe, was a seeker. She was seeking answers. And that's going to be what we should be today. Every day is seeking answers from the Word of God. You know, unfortunately, it's easy to go to the world, and the world gives us a quick answer that really isn't right. You know, the world's answers seem right because they're the world's answers, and they're on our understanding level. But somehow we have to ask the Holy Spirit to be our teacher, and that's why we have the Holy Spirit. That's why God said, I don't leave you as orphans. I go to away, but I'm going to send you this comforter, this encourager, this helper, to be there to help you along there. Then we go on and we see what she found out when she got there. Starting in verse 2. It says, she came to Jerusalem with a very great retinue or company, with camels that bore spices, very much gold and precious stones. And when she came to Solomon, she spoke with him about all that was in her heart. See, we have things in our heart sometimes. Sometimes we're afraid to ask them. You know, it's okay to ask a hard question because really, a lot of times we think it's a dumb question. But there's no such thing as a dumb question, especially when it comes to the Word of God. But she was there. Everything in her heart she asked. She didn't hold it back. Then verse 3 says, so Solomon answered all her questions. Well, of course, because he asked for wisdom, and God gave him wisdom to be able to lead God's people. And it says, there was nothing so difficult for the king that he could not explain it to her. Excuse me. And there's no question so difficult that it can't be found in the Bible. And keep that in mind. There's no problem that can't be solved by the Word of God. It's all there. It's complete. And then verse 4 says, and when the Queen of Sheba had seen all the wisdom of Solomon, the house that he had built, the food on his table, the seating of his servants, the service of his waiters and their apparel, his cup waiters and the apparel of his cupbearers, and his entryway by which he went up to the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit in her. Then she said to the king, "It was a true report which I heard my own from. It was a true report which I heard my own land about your words and your wisdom. However, I did not believe the words until I came and saw with my own eyes. And indeed, the half was not told me. Your wisdom and your prosperity exceed the fame of which I heard." Then verse 8 says, "Happy are your men, and happy are these your servants who stand continually before you and hear your wisdom. Blessed be the Lord your God, who delighted in you, setting you on the throne of Israel, because the Lord has loved Israel forever. Therefore, he made you king to do justice and righteousness." Wow, there's a lot of stuff in here. And you know, I love this area of Scripture, especially when I have a ministry meeting with ministry leaders, or like, for example, the ushers, or the sound people, or the children's ministry. It doesn't matter what area of ministry. I love to teach this area at that time. Because look what happened. She came and she saw all these things functioning the way that they were functioning. And guess what? God got glorified for that. And I believe it should be that way for within the ministry here, that people, as they come to this building, they should see these things. And you see here what she's looking at is she's seen the house that he had built. She's seen what this place he built. The food on his table, the very food, it was just something that she just couldn't even believe her eyes about that. The seating of his servants, the way that they would be seated and the way that they would seat the guest at that point. And then the service of the waiters, how the waiters would come and serve the tables. You know, and we as the body of Christ need to be those kind of servants one to the other, serving one another the best we can. And then it says their apparel. You know, and of course, Calvary Chapels are known for being a little bit relaxed in our dress and things like that. But, you know, there's a place even to be above reproach in our apparel before the Lord as people would come in. His entryway, the very doorway, the very entrance to all this, it was a part of her there. And then it says there was no more spirit in her. She was just like, you know, she just mouth drop open and just out of breath. You know, it was just that magnificent. So the Queen of Sheba, she was amazed by everything that she saw. She was amazed by it. The palace, the furniture, the food, you know, all these things, his servants. But yet she mentioned first thing, above all else, she was amazed at Solomon's wisdom. The wisdom of Solomon to be able to coordinate all this and be able to put all this together. And she was wise enough in herself. She had enough wisdom that she gave God glory for it. She praised God, praised the name of the Lord for it, because she realized that it was the Lord that had given Solomon this wisdom. It was the Lord that had given Solomon this ability to accomplish all he had and to these things. And so I look at that for the ministry and for the building and the stuff that goes on here and the servants that we have and the blessing they all are, and how that should be the case on Sunday or Wednesday even as people come in, that they would be amazed and glorify God as they come in here. But we have to take it for each of our lives individually as well. It doesn't just pertain to the church or to ministry. You know, the New Testament says, do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? You know, we're all called to be able to live our lives in such a way that when we talk to people, when people come to meet us or we meet them, wherever it's at, that they would maybe have some hard questions. And the Holy Spirit would give us the answer to give to them. And that the people we would bump into would be amazed, as the Queen of Sheba was. You know, this weekend over here on Water Street, there's going to be thousands of people. Thousands of people are going to be walking up and down that street this weekend for the Supercar Run Show. What an opportunity for us as believers just to go bump into a few people and just see if they have some hard questions. You know, just to be able to just to share the love of Jesus with them. You know, just to talk to them and not to threaten them in any way. You know, don't tell them, you know, if you don't turn, you're going to burn. I mean, that doesn't usually satisfy anything. You know, there was a thing on Facebook this morning that said, you know, I hate those people that come to the door and tell you that if you don't get saved, you're going to get burned. You're going to burn. Man, those crazy firemen. Yeah, but it's, you know, but there, we've got an opportunity this weekend just to go in our neighborhood. Man, they're coming to us. They need to know Jesus. You know, they need to know that love of God. And that's what we need to be, as just as Solomon's whole building, his whole works of the temple and everything else gave God glory. We as individuals should give God glory as we go about doing things. And, you know, you can go down there and have a good time. There's a lot of great cars to see and some other things and a lot of stuff going on. You can enjoy it. But at the same time, say, you know, pray before you go. God, would you use me this weekend? You know, would you bring somebody in my path? Maybe it's just one person. You know, maybe you see them and maybe everybody's having a good time and you see somebody just all downcast. And they're just, you know, you can just tell, man, this person isn't having a good time. And I'll just go up and say, you know what, can I pray for you? You know, and usually they won't say, oh, get away from me. Some might today. But if they do, they didn't reject you, they rejected God. You know, but just say, hey, can I pray for you? You know, well, why do you want to pray for me? Well, I just, the Lord put it on my heart. And you never know what will happen at that point. So just a seed for thought. There's an opportunity that I believe that we can take advantage of as the church this weekend, as the church of God, the children of God, to go out and share with others. And maybe they have some hard questions and have some scriptures to be able to answer. You know, and you know, you don't need to know a lot. Paul says, I know nothing but Christ and Him crucified. You know, pretty simple. Christ and Him crucified. Christ came and died for us because we're all sinners. We all need a Savior, and Jesus is that Savior. And He was resurrected again so that we could be resurrected unto eternal life as well. What a simple little message. You know, but we just got to get over our fears to be able to share that with people. So it goes on. And so that's what happened when Queen of Sheba came to visit at the temple. Now it goes on in verse 10, and it says, then she gave the king 120 talents of gold, spices in great quantity, and precious stones. There never again came such abundance of spices as the Queen of Sheba gave to King Solomon. Also, the ships of Hiram, which brought gold from Ophrah, brought great quantities of almug wood and precious stones from Ophir. So the Queen of Sheba came, and you know, you can almost take it that because she glorified God and praised the name of the Lord, she maybe, you know, she might have got saved at that point. You know, it's very possible because she gave God glory for what had happened there. You know, and also it says, you know, I didn't write down the scripture. Yeah, in Matthew 12:42, it says this. It says, the queen of the south, which is Queen of Sheba, says, will rise up in the judgment with this generation and condemn it, for she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and indeed a greater Solomon is here. So it's saying that she rose up and said, hey, if anybody doesn't serve this God, you know, you're going to have judgment. So there's a possibility of her salvation, her coming to salvation there because of this, because she met Solomon with all of this wisdom. And yet today, we have one so much greater than Solomon. We have one that's greater than him. And so as you think about that, Solomon had the wisdom of God. Jesus is the wisdom of God. Okay? Solomon was a great king. Jesus is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Solomon had great wealth. I mean, you know, you read about it in Kings here, and we're going to read about the rest of it here in this chapter, as well as in Ecclesiastes and other areas. You see how much wealth Solomon had, but yet Jesus has unsearchable riches. You can't even know it. You can't contain the riches of Jesus. Solomon spoke practically in the Proverbs. Jesus spoke significantly in the Sermon on the Mount. I mean, you know, if you're ever going through anything, it doesn't matter what it is, read Matthew 5, 6, and 7. And then if that doesn't speak to you, read Matthew 5, 6, and 7. And if that doesn't speak to you, read Matthew 5, 6, and 7. You're going to get something out of those three chapters that will help you. I guarantee it. It's all there. The answer to all of our emotional, mental, you know, physical problems, they're there. They're in the Sermon on the Mount. It's the greatest message that you could ever read. So, I mean, he spoke significantly in the Sermon on the Mount. Solomon answered the Queen of Sheba's questions. Jesus is the answer to all questions. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Solomon revealed his riches to the Queen of Sheba. Jesus reveals his riches to any who seek his face. If you seek me, you will find me. If you seek me with all your heart. And so that's all it takes, is that seeking after him. And we will find him. Solomon loaded the Queen of Sheba with a bounty of gifts. Jesus does exceedingly abundantly above all that we can even ask or think. He just does. We don't always think so. We don't always realize it. We don't always feel it. But if you trust in the Word of God, we can by faith know it. That's why he says, walk by faith and not by sight. We need the faith just to be able to say, God, I don't feel you. I don't know you're around me. But I have to believe by faith you're here. I guess the best analogy is the footprints poem, you know, the plaque that you see everywhere with the, yeah, right there. Yeah, I knew I had it somewhere. No. Yeah, the footprints plaque, a banner even. You know, but to see that one set of footprints and the guy in his dream says, Lord, why when I was going through all these problems did you abandon me? And he said, I didn't abandon you, I was carrying you. But you know, for some of us, we don't have footprints, we got drag marks. You know, boy, how thankful I am for Jesus, for the wisdom and the perfection that he embodies. That is all in him, for the riches and the blessings that he bestows. You know, he just does. And again, you know, if nothing else, just the realization that we were dead in our trespasses and sins, but we've been made alive together with him in Christ Jesus. Wow. What else is there? You know, everything else is just icing on the cake. You know, his dying on the cross and his resurrection is the ultimate love. It's the ultimate answer for us. And we should be thankful for that every day. Then it moves on. Verse 14. It says, the weight of gold that came to Solomon yearly was 666 talents of gold. Besides that, from the traveling merchants, from the income of traders, from all the kings of Arabia, and from the governors of the country. So you see this 666 talents of gold that was given to him. You know, in today's economy, it would be equivalent to over $1 billion. I figured it out the other day, but I wrote it down, but I lost it. And it was way over $1 billion in today's price of gold. And that's a rather hefty sum. $1 billion, and actually over a billion. So to get some kind of an idea, this is a way to look at it. If a billionaire gave $1 million to his wife and said to her, go out and spend $1,000 every day and don't come back until the entire $1 million is gone, she wouldn't come back for 3 years. Some women would say, that's one way to get rid of me. But on the other side of that coin, that's $1 million. Now, if he gave his wife $1 billion and told her the same thing, to spend $1,000 a day till it was gone, she wouldn't be able to come back for 3,000 years. That's how much money that is. This 660, that's how much gold was just given at one time. And he had so much more. And so we're going to be looking at all of this gold and all of these things tonight as we finish up this chapter. But it's just to get the point across, $1 billion is a lot of money. you know, and I heard this, somebody said in, 2008 when there was a, the economy crashed and everything, they said, we know who the next billionaire or the next millionaires are going to be. It's the people that used to be billionaires. they were going to be millionaires now. The economy took a dive there for, So, but verse 16 says, and King Solomon made 200 large shields of hammered gold. 600 shekels of gold went into each shield. And so a shield is that what covered the soldier's entire body. It was like from head to toe. They would hold it up there, and it was a shield that would protect him. Solomon was so rich that his shields for his armies were made out of solid gold. That's how it was just almost wasteful. Then verse 17 says, he also made 300 shields of hammered gold. 3 minas of gold went into each shield, and the king put them in the house of the forest of Lebanon. So this house in the forest of Lebanon was probably his vacation home. So he made all these other smaller shields and just put them in the house, just to have them there, just as something to do with the gold. I mean, you see some rich people today, and you see some of the stuff they own, and it's like the same thing. Why would anybody need that? Well, they don't, but they have to spend their money on something. And a lot of times it's just ridiculous things. And then verse 18 says, moreover, the king made a great throne of ivory. Now, you know how, ivory is very expensive in itself. It's an expensive product. But then what did he do? He overlaid it with pure gold. Yeah, so the throne had, it says in verse 19 there, the throne had 6 steps, and the top of the throne was round at the back. There were armrests on either side of the place of the seat, and 2 lions stood beside the armrest. 12 lions stood there, 1 on each side of the 6 steps. Nothing like this had been made for any other kingdom at all. So this is quite a throne he's building here. So this, the throne of ivory would have been impressive enough, but he goes ahead and place it with gold. Makes it gold plated. That's how much gold he had. And that's just what he had to do with it. He's making it all fancy and just all of this stuff. All this pomp and circumstance. And so you kind of wonder, well, no wonder the Queen of Sheba was blown away. But see, we have so much more than gold. We have so much more than worldly riches. We have God. We have the love of Jesus. That's more valuable than anything that the material world can provide. And so we need to be going out and we need to be showing that. Then going on, verse 22 says, for the king had at sea a navy of Tarshish with the navy of Hiram. Once in 3 years came the navy of Tarshish, bringing gold and silver, ivory, and apes. I guess apes were important. And peacocks. So King Solomon exceeded all the kings of the earth for the riches and for wisdom. He was far above. And so that's why I say that this chapter, Solomon's right at the pivot of all this. He's right at the top of all this. He was known both for his riches as well as his wisdom. Both of those. In reality, though, it was his riches were the result of his wisdom. That's how he had it. Remember, God told Solomon, ask me anything. Ask me anything. And what did Solomon say? He asked for wisdom in order that he might rule God's people correctly. And because of that, so pleased was the Lord with his request that in addition to wisdom, beyond all comprehension, Solomon received riches beyond all measure. So you see these riches just piled in here, all this gold, all these things going on. And you see that it all comes from God. All the blessings, every good gift comes from above. And that's where it comes from. And yet sometimes we feel like, well, Lord, where's your good gift? Well, when we're ready, we'll have it. He's preparing us. He's molding. He's shaping us. He's getting us ready for that. We have to get things in the right priority. And then verse 24 through 29, it goes on here and it says, now all the earth sought the presence of Solomon to hear his wisdom, which God had put in his heart. Each man brought his present articles of silver and gold, garments, armor, spices, horses, and mules. at a set rate year by year. So they continue to bring a certain amount. It's kind of like taxes. You know, they paid a certain amount year by year. And Solomon gathered the chariots and horsemen. He had 1,400 chariots and 12,000 horsemen, whom he stationed in the chariot cities and with the king at Jerusalem. The king made silver as common in Jerusalem as stones, and made cedar trees as abundant as the sycamores which are in the lowland. And Solomon had horses imported from Egypt and Kevev. The king's merchants bought them in Kevev at the current price. Now a chariot that was imported from Egypt cost 600 shekels of silver, and a horse 150. And thus, through their agents, they exported them to all the kings of the Hittites and the kings of Syria. So here we have all this stuff coming in on a year-to-year basis. All these chariots, all these horses, all of this stuff, right? He's accumulating. He's getting it year by year. It's building, it's building, it's building. And yet Deuteronomy 17:16. Go ahead and turn there a couple books to the left. Go to Deuteronomy 17. A few more than a couple, but Deuteronomy 17. Deuteronomy is where the pages are real worn out because you've been reading it so much. All right, Deuteronomy 17, verses 16 and 17. It says, "But he," speaking of the king, "shall not multiply horses for himself, nor cause the people to return to Egypt to multiply horses. For the Lord has said to you, you shall not return that way again. Neither shall he multiply wives for himself, lest his heart turn away, nor shall he greatly multiply silver and gold for himself." Uh-oh. Solomon's right at the top of everything, but what do we see him doing? Just the opposite of what Deuteronomy had said not to do. He said, don't do this. The Lord specifically said that the king of Israel was not to multiply to himself horses, gold, or wives. Those are the three no-nos. And why didn't the Lord want the king to have this? Is it because the Lord didn't want him to have any fun, or didn't want to, is just the Lord just a miserable God? No, that's not why. It's because he knows the tendency of man's heart. Jeremiah says, the heart is deceitful above all things. Who can understand it? You know, who can really understand it? You know, that, you know, he doesn't want us together these things, and he didn't want the king together those things, because then he knew that they would trust in the horses and they would rely on the gold rather than seeking him for every step of their way. They no longer needed God. They had all these horses, all these chariots, all these things. And yet it's kind of interesting when you think about those shields of gold. You know, gold's a real soft metal. I don't think I'd want to be a soldier with a shield of gold protecting me. But it kind of shows Solomon's understanding of things. Remember, David was a man of war. Solomon just was a man of just these material things more, and a man of policy and you know, political wisdom and things like that. And so he had all these things. And so it kind of shows that he used this gold in really a wrong way. It wasn't really a beneficial way. And so again, Solomon wasn't being very practical as far as preparing his armies. He was just a show. It was a lot of show going on there. And God didn't want the king of Israel to gather all these things upon himself, because he knew, God knows our heart. God knows our heart. You know, and I think it's in right there in the next chapter, Deuteronomy 18, I believe it is, where he goes on and he says, you know, beware lest when you get plenty of this and plenty of that, then you will let your heart stray from me and you'll no longer seek me. We no longer put him first in our lives. And it's easy to do for all of us at that point. And so Solomon multiplied, though, to himself both horses as well as gold. He did both of these, as well as something else. And we're going to read about that next week in chapter 11. That's that third thing, of course, the women. You know, and we see that. But you know, to trust in the Lord and not in your stuff. You know, I am so blessed when I see a born-again believer that is faithful to God, a good steward of God, and they are serving God. And I'm so blessed when I see them, God's blessings poured out in their life. Because they have all of these things, but they use them in the correct way. They continue to seek God in spite of having all that stuff. They know that the stuff is stuff, and God is God. And when you do that, God will pour out his blessings on you. He just does. It's his nature. Excuse me, it's his character. It's a way that we can be glorified. A lot of times Christians have had this woe is me attitude that, oh, I can't have anything, I shouldn't have anything. God will just, you know, I just got to, you know, suffer through. But sometimes God wants us to be like Solomon was and have so much that people around us would glorify him for it. But we got to give him glory for it. We got to keep seeking him no matter what we have. The stuff has to remain the stuff. It has to remain in the right priority in our heart. And you know, when I mentioned what Jeremiah said about the heart is deceitful above all things. Who can understand it? You know, because we, you know, it says it's evil continually. And yet, what does he say? He says, give me your heart. Give me your heart. And then what does he do? He replaces it with a heart of, you know, that's moldable, a heart of flesh that he can mold and shape. No longer that stony heart that just wants our way and wants it our way and then to do the things we want and accumulate the things we want. No, he says, give me your heart. And he replaces it with his heart, his desires, his love, his mercy, his grace. So at that point, then that's when we can go down to Water Street with a sincere attitude and a sincere love of Christ and just share the gospel wherever the Lord would open up the door, however he would open it up. You know, it's amazing. You know, God can use a custom car to start a great conversation if that's his will. You know, he can just use it. You know what? Man, wow, that's good. There's been a lot of work done in that car. Man, that really looks like you poured a lot of time in that. You know, I've had a lot of work done in my heart. I was a sinner and this and that. I was lost in all this stuff. But you know what? God customized me. You know, there's all kinds of ways to open up doors when you're talking to people. Talk to them about things and in ways of things that they will relate to. And that's all that's important. When Queen of Sheba came to ask Solomon these hard questions, he was able to answer them because he had the wisdom of God. We have the same Holy Spirit. We have the same wisdom. You know, soon we're going to be starting to read about Elijah here in 1 Kings. And we see this prophet of God, this mighty man of God that was just did these, you know, he called down fire from heaven and it not only burned up the sacrifice, it burned up the water around him. A powerful man of God. And we think, boy, I'd like to be like that. I wish I could do some of those things. Well, James 1:5-17 says that Elijah was a man with a nature just like ours. New American Standard says Elijah was a man just like us. We have the same Spirit of God empowering us that empowered him and empowered Solomon to have the wisdom. We just have to pray for it. We have to ask. The Bible says you have not because you ask not. Do you get up every morning and ask for God's wisdom for the day? Or you get up and say, oh, Lord, I'm up another day. Not another day, Lord. No, praise God. God, you blessed me with another day. Give me the wisdom to use it for your glory. Let's pray.